Let's pray before we sit down. Father, I just give you the glory for tonight, Lord. How precious it is, how powerful it is to be able to come together as a family, Lord, to worship you, to give you the glory tonight on this Christmas Eve, Father. We thank you for the greatest gift you give us in Christ, Father. Father, I pray as we look into your word tonight, Lord, as we see your word on the screen, Father, it's written by you for us, it's profitable for doctrine, reproof, correction, and righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work, Father. So I give you the glory in Jesus' name, amen. You can have a seat. Thank you. Oh, it's beautiful. So I'll start off by saying Merry Christmas to everybody. We're so glad you're here on this Christmas Eve to celebrate the birth of Jesus. That's why we're here. That's what we planned for. That's what we've been working for. We've almost made it to Christmas Day. It's unbelievable. If you have not felt the sense of the anticipation for weeks, if not for months, then you certainly do now. And you're definitely not a parent of a young child if you haven't felt that. But many of you will wait until tomorrow morning to give and receive gifts. Tonight we're going to unwrap some gifts here from this pulpit, out of the Word of God, the gifts of Christmas together as we journey together towards the manger in Bethlehem and celebrate the arrival of Jesus, the ultimate gift of Christmas. But before we tear into the wrapping tonight, I have a question for each one of you all to consider. What are you waiting for tonight? What are you waiting for tonight? Maybe you're waiting for family to arrive. Maybe you're waiting for a delivery of a special gift or perhaps a late package. Maybe you're waiting for direction tonight or a healing tonight. Perhaps you're just waiting for me to stop talking or the craziness of the season to be over so we can get it back to normal. Whatever it is you're waiting for tonight, I encourage you to set it aside and spend the next few minutes this Christmas Eve watching and waiting for the miracle of Christmas, the arrival of the God of the universe come to earth as a human baby. There's a great song I found by the singer-songwriter David Wilcox. It's called The Miracle. It's a song about the risk of missing Jesus because we're waiting for a miracle or because we think the miracle should and will look different. The song says this: few will choose to follow out of all the star invites. Most will hide safe inside with the lantern turned up bright, waiting for a miracle. So I came here tonight to invite you into the darkness. For it's in the darkness that we most clearly see the light of Christmas, and it's where we experience the gift of Jesus offers this season. Here are a few more questions for you tonight. What are you waiting for tonight that could take your eyes off the coming of the Savior? What is hindering your journey to the manger in Bethlehem? What expectations are you holding on to that may distract you from the true depths offered in Christ? Who is keeping you from seeing the miracle? Tonight I invite you to experience the greatest gift of all, the gift of God made flesh in Jesus Christ. I invite you to follow. Instead of waiting for a miracle, let's step out into the darkness and allow the light of Jesus to shine in our lives as we accept the gifts of Christmas. As a church, we've spent the last 4 weeks journeying together through the season of Advent. I told you that the word Advent means coming or arrival. The season is marked by expectation. The season's marked by waiting and anticipation and longing. Advent offers us as an opportunity to share in the ancient longing for the coming of the Messiah, to celebrate His birth and to be alert for His second coming. In your listening guide, you got handed to you, I put, during Advent, we light candles on a wreath, which represents the aspects of Jesus coming to a lost world, to a world lost in darkness. Each flame or each light represents a gift that Jesus brings to us. Tonight we'll unwrap the gifts of hope, the gift of love, joy, peace, and we'll finish it by lighting the fifth candle on the wreath as we celebrate the gift of Jesus Himself. The first gift I want to unwrap is the gift of hope. And while we often think of hope, we think about the future. But God's gift of hope includes both hope past, hope present, and hope future. The Old Testament prophets, including Isaiah, reminded Israelites along the way that God had not forgotten them, that He would still come through. And as more and more time passed through the Old Testament, the Israelites could look back at what the prophet Isaiah foretold. For us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on His shoulders, and He will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, and the Prince of Peace. The gift of hope reminds us that the promises and prophecies that were fulfilled in Jesus' coming, they show us that God was working all along in history, even when it was difficult to see and they were waiting. And as we reflect on hope through the Advent and at Christmas, we too can look back at God's faithfulness in our lives and gain hope and confidence as what He will do in our present and in our future. For us, we look back on Christ's birth, but the season of Advent reminds us for us to wait and expect His coming again, which is still future to us. We long for a time when we will be restored and made new. We experience the pain and suffering of today and wait in eager hope for the future when God will make all things right. So I came here to ask you, what about today? What about the here and now and our present? In the first chapter of Luke, we find Jesus' birth foretold to Mary by the angel Gabriel. What would you do with information that like Mary got? How would you have handled that unexpected news? And as we read through the Gospels, thankfully Mary responded in faith and held fast to the hope of the promise of Emmanuel, God with us. She chose to believe the angel's message. She chose to hope that what was impossible, would be possible, that the Messiah was coming through her. And because of the birth and life and death and resurrection of Jesus, we can have hope in our present lives, no matter what our struggles or circumstances might be right now in our lives. Our present hope in Jesus doesn't stop the storms of life. It doesn't change the immediate situation we face, but as in Hebrews 6:19, it says, we have this hope as an anchor for our soul, firm and secure. So like an anchor that holds a ship steady against the wind and the waves, our hope holds us firm and secure in the midst of life's storms. Let this season be one of secure hope in the midst of whatever storms you face. God is at work. He has delivered on His promises past, and He will make all things right in the future. In the present, our hope lies in the fact that the baby was born in a stable in Bethlehem and has come, and He will return again. In the meantime, He is with us, filling us with hope. The story of Christmas is really a continuation of God's love story with the world that began at creation. And the second gift we unwrap tonight is the gift of love. It's when we open this gift and we're challenged to accept it and experience and then to share His love. If you spent any time in a church at all, you've probably heard this one verse, for God so loved the world that He gave His one and only Son, that whoever believes in Him shall not perish but have eternal life. John 3:16. The message in that verse is the core of what we believe as Christians. And as we unwrap the gift of love tonight, it makes sense that we would start here at the center, which is God loves the world. It makes sense that God loves you and you and you and each of us. And that's why He sent His Son, Jesus. That's why He gave us His Son to pay the ultimate sacrifice for each of us. That's why we can accept His love and be made right with Him in forgiveness and for an eternal relationship that goes beyond this limited life on earth. It's easy to read the headlines and wonder if love can really overcome the darkness and the hate in our world. Think about all that's going on around the world. It's easy to allow worry or over tomorrow or next week or next year to overwhelm us and keep us from feeling love. But it's important to remember that God invites you to bring all those core cares and concerns to Him. God does not ask you to ignore those things in order to experience His love. You don't have to rid yourself of hurry or worry. Instead, He invites you to surrender to the deepest hurts and pains of your life to Him and allow Him to fill you with His love. And the good news is that love He gives through His Son, Jesus Christ, is enough. Enough to carry you through your darkest doubts, your darkest pains, and lead you to healing. The love of Christ is a fierce and powerful love. Paul described it this way, and I really want all of us to read this verse, these two verses tonight, because they're fantastic. Let's read them together. For I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Think about those verses. They were written by Paul centuries ago through the Holy Spirit to give us, to penetrate our hearts and for us to surrender our lives to Him. And as God's love works in us and through us, it transforms us. It fills us. It overflows us from us to others. The beauty of God's love is that sharing this gift doesn't leave us with less. It leaves us with more. I'm praying for transformation here tonight. I just don't want to give you a bunch of information. I just don't want you to give you a bunch of verses, even though they're from God. I want you to know that He can transform your life starting tonight. It's God's love that works in us and through us and transforms us. John said this in 1 John 4:9-11. This is how God showed His love among us. He sent His one and only Son into the world that we might live through Him. This is the love, not that we loved God, but that He loved us and sent His Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. Dear friends, since God so loved us, we ought to love one another. This is the gift of love that we celebrate at Christmas. It's God's ultimate gift for us to receive and to experience and to share. May we experience God's love in new and deeper ways this season and the coming days and weeks and years. The third gift that I want to unwrap tonight is the gift of joy. The coming of Jesus creates a joy that causes all creation to celebrate. Look at Psalms 96, because there's so many places in Psalms where it talks about the joy of the Lord. These three verses say this: let the heavens rejoice, let the earth be glad, let the sea resound and all that is in it, let the fields be jubilant and everything in them, let all the trees and the forests sing for joy, let all creation rejoice before the Lord. For He comes, and He comes to judge the earth. He will judge the world in righteousness and the peoples in their faithfulness. But what if you're sitting in here tonight and you really just don't feel joy this season? There's plenty of expectation, busyness, stress, darkness in our world that to rob us from the joy this Christmas season. But how can you receive the gift of joy even in the midst of suffering? Even in the midst of loneliness or pain or grief or stress or boredom or even busyness, let us look briefly together at how we can anticipate joy, recognize joy, and choose joy. I thought about a couple characters in the Christmas story show us that way for joy. It says the shepherds are a good example of anticipating joy. Now, really, initially, they were oblivious. They were just working in the fields doing their normal grind when the sky lit up with angels and a message about the Messiah. But those shepherds didn't immediately feel joy. They felt scared. Look at what Luke tells us. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Savior will be born to you. He is Messiah, the Lord." The angel first addressed their fear, you see in those verses, and helped them to move beyond what it received. So they received the message of joy that the Savior, the Messiah, the one Israel had anticipated and waited so long for, had been born. By the end of the night that night, those shepherds got it. Luke said in verse 20 of chapter 2, the shepherds returned glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen, which were just as they had been told. Elsewhere in the scriptures, there were wise men who saw a star in the sky and they paid attention. They recognized joy and traveled a long way to find the one whose birth was announced by the star. They encountered hardships along the way, but they kept seeking, even when things went wrong. Through their journey, their response was joy and worship. Matthew tells us this way in chapter 2, when they saw the star, they were overjoyed. On coming to the house, they saw the child with his mother Mary, and they bowed down and worshiped him. It can be hard to recognize joy in our lives sometimes, especially when it doesn't always look like the way we expect it to. We want joy to be free of worry and hardship, but James told us that joy is found in the midst of and even because of hard things. Look what James tells us. Consider pure joy, my brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials of many kinds. It's because you know that the testing of your faith produces perseverance. And how do we do that? We begin by choosing paths towards joy, through gratitude, through obedience, and through continual abiding in Christ. And as we do, we open ourselves to be shaped and transformed by God and to encounter joy as a result. So as we celebrate Christmas, we know that Christ the Messiah has come. This we can celebrate and rejoice over. We know that there's more to come in His eventual return. But this will still, we must anticipate. Let's experience Christmas as a time of gratitude, as a time of obedience, abiding in His love, as we anticipate the joy He brings. The fourth gift I want to unwrap tonight is the gift of peace. Peace is defined as freedom from disturbance, quiet, tranquility. But it often in situations that are exactly the opposite that we most recognize our need for peace and the power that the peace of God provides for us. This is the kind of world that Jesus came to. That silent night was actually not very silent. The world was not at peace. There was a divide between God and His people, and there was a conflict among families and nations, and there was unrest in the hearts of many. But in the midst of that, Jesus came as who? The Prince of Peace. Jesus brings us the first and foremost peace with God. Jesus is the way we can be restored to relationship with God by the forgiveness of our sins, which separated us from God in the Garden of Eden. This eternal restoration and peace with the Creator is the greatest gift that we can receive this season. And it's available to all of us who will accept. When we do encounter Jesus and relate to Him, we also experience peace within our here and now. The Apostle Paul told us this, and I'd like us to read these three verses together. Let's read them together. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present your request to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. So His peace goes beyond understanding. It shows up in situations where it doesn't naturally make sense. And it holds and guides us through some of our worst nightmares, as our most stressful season or holiday or otherwise. The peace of Christ is strong. It's strong and powerful. It guards our hearts and our minds, and it's stronger than whatever difficulty we face. But we got to remember that God gave the gift of peace in the form of a person, Jesus, the Prince of Peace. If you notice in that fifth verse in Philippians, it reads, "The Lord is near." Jesus' presence is with us, and it is the reason we do not need to be anxious. He is Emmanuel. He's God with us, who offers us the gift of peace beyond understanding, that guards our hearts and our minds in Him. And as we practice the actions of prayer and petition and thanksgiving, we do so to connect with Him. Peace comes as a result of transformation as we experience, as the Holy Spirit shapes our perspective and realigns our hearts. We might walk out of here and still have trouble. Our troubles still may rage on, but the Spirit gives us new eyes to see, and the peace of Christ guards us and calms us and changes our outlook. He is the one that gives us peace to come, with the promise that He is with us. He told us in John 16:33, "I told you these things so that in me you may have peace. In this world you will have trouble, but take heart, I have overcome the world." There's a peace today. There is a complete peace that is yet to come. But in the time between, we trust in Jesus' promises that He has indeed overcome the world. And in the meantime, we seek Jesus. Finally, I want to talk about the greatest gift, and that's the gift of Jesus. I want to thank you tonight for taking the journey towards Bethlehem and unwrapping the gifts of Christmas along the way. And as we arrive here at Christmas Eve, we celebrate the baby wrapped in a cloth and lying in a manger. And we know that He is the true gift of Christmas. All the other gifts of hope and love and joy and peace come from Him. I like to describe it this way. He's the hope bringer. He's love come down. He's the joy giver. He's the peacemaker. And as we've noted throughout the night, Jesus is the bringer of eternal life with a relationship with God. He's the giver of life to the full, as described in John 10:10. He is the way and the truth and the life, described in John 14:6. He's everything. He's the miracle so humble that many missed it. He's the gift who entered in the dark and normal night 2 millennia ago as a fragile infant, one of us. But He is the God so loving and powerful that He's willing to stretch out His arms on a cross later in life to carry our sin and shame and burden and death in order to give us away to Himself. Jesus is the greatest gift of all eternity. And as we celebrate the gift of Jesus this Christmas, may we be filled with hope and love and joy and peace so we can live life to the fullest. Here's where our Advent journey ends. A new journey begins, a journey of worship. It is our act of worship to receive the gifts of Jesus this Christmas, and we can respond by bringing our own worship to Him. Like Mary and Joseph, if the band and the ushers, like Mary and Joseph and the shepherds and the angels and the wise men, we rejoice at His coming. We worship Emmanuel, God with us. Together we have watched and waited. We have stepped into the darkness and followed the light. We had received the gifts of Christmas. And today, as we light the final candle in our Advent wreath, let us worship the King. And have Lily and Haley come up now and light the last. You might get an extra present under the tree tonight for that. Praise God. The final candle on our Advent wreath, the light is reaching for you. the light of the world has come to earth and it's trying to reach you, extending hope and love and joy and peace. And I just have a couple questions to ask you. Will you experience the miracle tonight? Will you receive God's gift, His one and only Son, born to set you free? Will you give your heart to Him this Christmas in worship and in wonder? Go ahead, ushers, come on up. They're going to go ahead and light your candles. And then we'll cut the lights out and the band's going to play. Praise God. second so I can see you. Beautiful. Beautiful. You can go ahead and blow your candle out and have a seat for a second. Thank you, Lord. Praise God. Beautiful. Nobody's hair's on fire. Nothing's caught fire. Praise God. Huh? I know. It's great to have Bob and Marie Stevens with us tonight. Praise God. Beautiful. The Lord is good. We were sitting there worshiping and singing Silent Night, and I thought to myself, this is Kathy and I's 35th Christmas Eve after knowing the Lord, because it was 1981 when we accepted the Lord. But I'm sitting here thinking, there's got to be some kids that are sitting in this sanctuary right now, maybe praying for a brother and sister, maybe praying for a parent, maybe praying for a grandparent that never has received that gift of Christ in your heart. And I don't want to leave here tonight without giving you that invitation, because the Bible says if you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. And you would have new life, and you would have eternity to spend with our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. There's no other religion, there's no other person that can get you to heaven but other than Jesus. So maybe I'm supposed to ask, is there someone in here tonight that wants to receive Christ on Christmas Eve 2016? Just stand up. Stand up in front of everybody so we can cheer you on and say, thank you, Lord. Because there's a lot of prayers going out right now for maybe someone or someone to receive Christ in their heart tonight. So if the ushers could come forward. Well, I'm starting to hyperventilate. Praise God. He is powerful. If you can bow your heads, we're going to pray. We're going to take a last offering of this year. No church tomorrow. Wait, I can't even imagine saying that. Bow your heads and let's pray. Jesus, through this season of Advent, you've watched and waited. Tonight we celebrate your birth. We worship you because you're the giver of all good gifts. As we give our gift to you, your church tonight at CCF, please fill us this night with your hope and with your love and your joy and peace as we both celebrate your coming and continue to wait for you to come again. Father, I pray that everyone here has been touched by you tonight. In your word, it actually says you knock on the door of our hearts and ask if we would allow you to come in. And Father, I pray that someone's doing that right now, Father, even though they might not have stood up, Father, because we really don't have to stand up to receive you. All we have to do is open up our hearts to you. Your word says, yet to all who received him, to those who believed in his name, he gave a right to become children of God. And I pray there are going to be some children born again tonight in you, Father. Father, I ask you to bless this offering, and we give you the glory. In Jesus' name, amen.